good afternoon to Doron Levine. Hi, Doron. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you very much. Do you think that the mainstream media has become a vehicle for an agenda-driven narrative?
Yeah, I'm afraid it's so. There's basically a storyline in the United States that the UN International Committee on Climate Change has come up with the reason for climate change, which is basically human-generated CO2, and that we're close to a catastrophe, and it's important to limit the emissions of CO2, and the reason, and it's become tremendously politicized. So in order to do that, you have to change a lot of policy. You have to change how power plants generate electricity. You have to change how cars burn oil or don't burn oil. You have to decide what land use is going to be. You have to decide a lot of things that really get decided that require a policy change, and therefore it becomes the Republicans versus the Democrats in the United States. And as the world's leading economy, it kind of leads the way for the rest of the world. Of course, Europe has the same issue with the EU and with every separate country in the European Union that has to decide what do we believe, and if we believe this, then we have to push this through legislatively, otherwise nothing changes. So the media, I think, has gotten in line and has not really questioned enough the fundamental and underlying assumption, the threshold assumption, which is that we're close to a catastrophe. It's caused by too much CO2 generation, and we need to stop or modify or replace CO2 generation as quickly as possible to avert this catastrophe.
What was your reaction when the article was censored?
You know, it's a bit insulting, of course, as a journalist to be in a position where the a publication that you were a regular contributor for says that something that you worked hard on and taken pains to be fair about and also taken pains to be accurate with doesn't meet their editorial standards. I had a short conversation with one of the editors at Forbes, and I didn't really understand exactly what editorial standards it violated. It just apparently offended somebody there, and they decided that they were going to take that down. Now, of course, that only provokes kind of more suspicion and more argument. It doesn't really shed any light on climate change. Now, I must say that we're talking about a person, Nir Shaviv, who is an eminent astrophysicist. Now, there are people out there who I think it's fair to call them climate cranks, okay? They don't have qualifications, and they don't really come from a place where they can make their objections or their beliefs known from an academic or scientific standpoint. That's clearly not the case with Shaviv. Shaviv, just to bring your listeners up to speed, this was a guy who went into Technion, which is the leading technical university in Israel. He started studying there when he was 13 years old. He had his doctorate by the time he finished his army service. He's done postdoctoral work in physics at Caltech in the United States and the Canadian Institute of Technology. He's an Einstein Fellow at the Institute for Advanced Study at Princeton. I mean, this is one of the leading astrophysicists in the world, brilliant guy who does not have a political agenda particularly. He just has a number of refereed research papers which suggest that some of the reasons for global warming are quite different than what is being presented by the UN, and he believes that the UN has made some mistakes. And look, science, he may be right or he may be wrong, but science is full of examples of times when people believed one thing until they learned more, something else, and then they had to discard those beliefs in favor of another belief. So we know that science is dynamic in that sense.
Absolutely. You know, this is a much longer conversation, and as I was saying initially, is that the conversation that we should be having has got nothing to do with
climate change.
It's about the agenda that seems to be driven by mainstream media, and South Africa hasn't escaped this either. You know, depending on who the shareholders are, will determine the narrative. And I think that that's where we're kind of very blessed, is that we're completely independent as a radio station. But what's your thought on that as we wrap up, Dora?
Well, it's really regrettable in a sense. I think that this issue would have gotten a lot better airing in the mainstream media 20 years ago in the United States. But right now, we're in the midst of a fracturing of the media. And as you say, it's a much longer conversation, which we should have sometime. But yeah, we're in the midst of a fracturing of mainstream media worldwide because of the Internet. And so you have all of these institutions, Forbes and Breitbart and Huffington Post, and lots of people writing lots of things. Some of them are quite interesting and quite solid from a factual and intellectual standpoint, and some of them are, you know, really lack editing, I would say, and could use a lot more care could be used. But so we're in this sort of chaotic period of media where a lot of things happen that should not happen, unfortunately.
Doron Levine, thank you so much for speaking to us today again. And you certainly are now on my radar. And hopefully we will be able to speak to you again. And thank you so much for letting us interrupt your holiday.
Thank you so much, and pleasure to be with you.